present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with a cutting scene in the Irish Sunday Independent, read by Charlotte Green.
A Russian tried to avoid national service by getting his diabetic girlfriend to provide his urine sample. Miko Kochetov, age 20, expected to be turned down on health grounds, but he was speechless when the army doctor told him he was pregnant.
Thanks to John Dowling of Dublin for that. Let's meet the teams. Please welcome first on my right, Andy Hamilton and Linda Smith. Opposite them on my left, Alan Corran and Sandy Toksvig. Andy, who hoped his jaw would provoke war?
Well, when News Quiz comes around, I know that I have to start reading the papers again. And I think I've been reading the papers this week, and I think it's a disgrace that the BBC are not offering me trauma counselling. Because I cannot remember a more depressing week of stories. And as I understand it from the pronouncements of President Bush, our policy is to liberate the people of Iraq from the tyranny of Saddam Hussein by bombing them from 20,000 feet, as usual. And, I mean, I know war is never a barrel of laughs, but this one does seem particularly depressing. And I think what makes it even more depressing is the army of experts who suddenly come out of the woodwork. I was watching a special sort of interactive edition of Panorama, and a woman, I think her name's Jane Corbyn, said, yes, well, of course, the thinking inside the CIA is very much that there isn't a link with Al-Qaeda. You thought, there is no thinking inside the CIA. It's a spy organisation. What you get inside the CIA is chaotic incompetence.
I think the expert that gets me, they always wheel on someone from that strange publication, Jane's Defence Weekly. She always sounds like the paramilitary wing of the Bunty. Aren't we talking about Colin Powell?
Yes,
we've never mentioned him so far. And can I just say, I'm quite pleased with him, because for a general, slightly camp to call yourself Colin, don't you think? You just want to go, no, Colin. Let's just, if you're going to be in charge, Colin. But no, he's Colin. And I loved him. He sat there with this little tube of white powder. And I know many politicians have them, but I've just never seen anyone. I thought, that's good, Colin. You're right up front with having the white powder. And then he said, and now I have tape recordings of phone calls that'll show you that we're going to war. And then we'd hear a lot of it. Translation, okay, buddy. And the Arabic for buddy would be...
The translation of those tapes, I thought, was richly and darkly incompetent, because a lot of it was, hello, are you there? Are you still there? Hello, Ibrahim. I mean, obviously, I'm doing an accent now, everybody. It was an habit. But the bit I love was when he was told to write down what it was he had to cross out. And it said, remove the expression, nerve agent. And I love the idea that nerve agent is just an expression. Yeah. There was another one, which was great, where he said, you know that specially modified vehicle you have? And he said, no, we don't have a specially modified vehicle. He said, yes, you do. No, we don't. He obviously thought it was a trap.
One Iraqi taped conversation began like this. A, hello. B, hello. A, hello. B, may I help you? A, how are you? B, God bless you. A, how is your health? B, good, thank God. Leading to suspicions that the CIA's top secret listening centre had accidentally tapped a conversation at the Home for Retired Gentlefolk in Bournemouth. Linda, who's voted not to vote?
The Lords, the sort of the culled portion of the hereditary Lords, what's left, the strongest part of the herd, they don't want elected Lords. The Labour Party generally don't want appointed. And Tony wants appointed, I think, and a swimwear round, I think was mentioned. Something like that. And it's very, it's complicated. And Robin Cook has had a bit of a setback, hasn't he? Because he was wanting to, you know, to have this elected chamber, and it's not quite, well, it was a noble attempt. But it did lead to a really disturbing picture in the Mirror. I don't know if you saw it, of Robin Cook in biscuit form. It was like a big biscuit with his face on it. It said, "The cookie crumbles." It was so disturbing. It really, and I thought, you could really cut childhood obesity at a stroke by marketing these jammy gargoyles. No biscuit for me today, Mum, just a bit of celery.
But also, I was always in favour of an appointed House of Lords, and then you see the House of Commons debating it, you think, actually, you know, that election thing's not working well, is it? Look at the people we voted in. Do you know that last year they found a fox sleeping on a filing cabinet in the House of Parliament? And I was thinking, at a stroke, we could sort out the hunting problem, because we could just run it straight through the House of Lords. Because the place is full of vermin. No, that's not right. It's ermine, isn't it? That's where I was. Sorry, there's a flaw in my
ermine,
plan.
Is ermine vermin?
Is ermine vermin? I don't know. There's an Ogden nationism about it, hasn't it?
It's a stoat in winter, isn't it? It changes its name in winter.
Is that a
ermine.
Film with Peter O'Toole?
Reform of the House of Lords was rejected this week by MPs and peers in a series of votes. The Conservatives said the government strategy had embarrassingly backfired. But that turned out to be John Prescott after a heavy lunch. 2 points to Linda. Sandy, listen to this piece of music. Well, you don't need a question, but I'll give it to you anyway. Which interviewee hasn't got an honest face?
I don't know if this is sad or funny. I can't really decide. There is a man whose face has clearly melted into the fire at some point, who's got squillions of pounds, and who's got no friends. I mean, it is very tragic. This is a bizarre thing. Michael Jackson was watched by 15 million people. It was like watching a car crash, wasn't it? It was sort of... You just kept... No, Michael, stop now. okay, so don't say, sleeping with children is lovely. Just... Sometimes I ride a corridor in a disabled chair. Okay, Michael, it's just not going... Oh, look, let's put the baby over the balcony. And the scariest thing... I mean, bottle-feeding children... I've had three children, and it's not always easy, but through a veil, I promise you, they're just not... It's just... Not
but
getting
it
any nutrients.
So much a veil, was well, it? Wasn't so much a veil as some neck curtains.
I have every sympathy for Michael Jackson, and I think it's very sad. I think he lost a great deal of face over that. Not as much as Martin Bashir. It has to be said it was a lousy piece of journalism.
It
didn't ask the right questions.
Terrible piece of journalism. People saying, oh, he can no longer be a role model for black people with that because he's white now. That's completely the wrong colour. And he did... You know that thing where they used to show people who'd gone through wind tunnels to test G-forces?
He looked like a Siamese cat walking into the teeth of a gale.
He did. Anyway, apparently, based on that interview, his records sales have increased 500%. I don't know what that says, but if he was short a bob or two, it's worked a charm, actually.
It was the most dreadful parable, really, wasn't it, about why no one should be have fantastic wealth, because, you know, if people have problems during their childhood, they then enter the adult world and kind of deal with them. But, of course, if you're that rich, you need never do that. You can just live in this permanent fantasy world, and the world is full of people who will help you, like the man who followed him round the store, that sort of millionaire's Woolworths.
Rubbing his hands.
Who rubbed his hands like some grim sort of Shylock.
Jackson claimed when he dies he doesn't want to be buried. Local council bylaws insist that all plastics have to be recycled. Alan, who isn't fighting for equal rights?
It's not the army one, Norwich University in Newcastle University, I think it was. There was a study to find out what's upsetting the world, and what the world is most upset about is the fact that the army talks about manning levels. It should be talking about staffing levels. For some reason, the university has done a study to investigate dissatisfaction in the army.
So apparently the women were worried that they're perceived as tomboys. And do you think that's anything to do with, like, what they do for a living? I don't know. Guns, big boots, kill people. I don't know, to me. That I'm such a girly girl. I don't know, I've come over all funny thinking about that.
That's true. You don't see that in the army ads, do you? You see, you know, can you handle this kind of... You don't see, do you want to bring out your feminine side? You don't.
That's the Navy. Oh, there'll be letters.
The report this week suggests sexism is still rife in the army. The report claims the army is still a traditional masculine organisation. It's confrontational, aggressive, and only changes its underpants once a week. We start round two with a cutting from CFAQs.
Falmouth railway station is closed due to flooding. Please use Falmouth docks instead.
Thanks to Guy Robinson for sending that. Andy, why could you benefit from a close shave?
Why could I benefit from a close shave? Oh, I don't know. Is this some survey? What?
Strokes. It's an offer for later, Andy.
Yeah. Is there a connection between having a beard?
Yeah.
And having a stroke?
Yeah. I don't know what the science is. If you can't
don't know
be
what the
asked,
science is. Oh, well, get that white beard. Coat off now.
It's about not shaving. Yeah. It says that men that don't shave every day, there is a correlation between that and strokes. Yeah. To say nothing of that, the men that don't shave every day tend to stay in bed, drinking beer and smoking, and eating fast pizzas sent in from outside. Somehow,
that's
this correlates
beardish,
with a stroke.
You've made your lifestyle choices, Andy. You have to live with them. I've forgotten which it is. You're more likely or less likely to have a stroke.
You're more likely. If you don't shave every day, you're more likely to have a stroke.
You all right?
All right, well, I'm prepared to go out on a limb here and say that I think that is probably scientifically rather unsound. I'm not worried. I'm not shaving just comes from some University of Nowhere shire.
I think it's interesting about you, though, that you count lifting your arm up and down against your cheek as exercise.
No, only if you do it more than once,
yeah.
Andy. That's it's like
must
step,
be a,
you know.
A devil in the house for keeping the loo bowl clean.
A team at the University of Bristol suggests that men who do not shave daily are 30% more likely to die of a heart attack and 70% more likely to have a stroke. Though, in their favour, they're 100%...
Hang on a second. Linda has just leant across and gone, 70%. All right, now, I've got as good a sense of humour as the next man. Certainly the next bearded man. But any more beard stuff, I'm going for a lie down.
Research by a team from the University of Bristol suggests that men who do not shave daily are 30% more likely to die of heart disease and 70% more likely to have a stroke than a dead stuffed deer.
That statistic doesn't get any more comforting the more often you say it.
Linda, listen to this.
Men are the love of women. I'm wrong, the world is right. Stop kicking and watering. Margaret Thatcher and Sigmund Freud. The stars of the rich and famous. When you're up, everybody wants your babies.
Linda, who wants to say goodbye to hello?
Oh, this is Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas, who've been suing Hello Magazine, I believe, because they caused them £500,000 worth of emotional distress at their wedding. Actually, that's not much distress for them, is it? That's
no.
A bit like, What's that? I mean, 20 million, that would be like, oh, blimey. But 500 grand's worth, that's not even a shrug, is it?
No.
That's nothing. So anyway, they called them absolutely not even mild to moderate. Barely detectable distress was caused to them at their wedding by taking photos of them when they'd already arranged to have their photos done by OK magazine. But apparently she was upset because it showed a picture of her, I don't know, pureeing a prawn vol-au-vent for her old man, literally. And there was a caption, Catherine Eater Jones, it said afterwards, implying that she was having something to eat. Well, that would upset you, wouldn't it, do? So, anyway, the Swansea Co-op have never recovered from it. Co-op Hall, they'll not be having them back again. And that's what it's all about, really, isn't it?
Their complaint is that these photographs were blurred and of poor quality. And you think, that's called having a wedding photographer. That's what happens to everybody.
They should just thank their lucky stars. There wasn't a thumb in it, really. That was
hundreds of people were frisked, weren't they, on the way in? And
were they?
Yep. Search for cameras and
didn't work.
Well,
didn't
it?
It didn't work, did it? Everyone except the hello photographer.
Well, Yeah, well, he was posing as as somebody else. He was, in fact, Jeremy Thorpe's son, wasn't he? Which is
what?
I'm not making it up.
True. No, it's true. Rupert.
You had a stroke.
Not yet. No, he was Jeremy Thorpe's son, who's the photographer in question.
I didn't care when they got married. I don't care if they're still married. I don't care if they get divorced. There, I've said it now. Me off the A-list.
Following the completion of the case, the couple hope to sell the film rights. Catherine Zeta-Jones will be played by Renée Zellweger and Michael Douglas by Humphrey Littleton. Sandy, why is black the new black?
Yes, well, this is rather thrilling, because black is more black than you thought. They proved this today in the papers because they were printing black, and it was even blacker than I'd ever thought it was possible to be black. And it's yet another scientific thing. They've managed to find a new colour. And where you all thought that you knew what black was, you looked at Michael Jackson and you knew you didn't. and there is a new black, isn't there?
Black is not a colour.
It's an absence of colour. Yes, well, I wasn't going to be technical because I was terribly worried you were going to keel over. It's 70% more black than it was black before. Oh, dear, 70%. I've used that figure again.
What's his name? Is it Ambiguous Black? If you go down the shop and order it, I'll have...
Deep Black.
Black Black.
The report engagingly said that this wasn't available to the eye. When you looked at it, it didn't look any blacker than any other black you looked at. You just had to know it was blacker.
So what we're talking about here is an elitist black that only certain people can see.
Yeah.
Isn't that typical? Yeah. That is so typical the way the world works. Yeah. You're not a black. We just have ordinary black.
Yeah.
We serfs. Oh, I've gone a bit stiff down one side.
You lucky boy.
British scientists at the National Physical Laboratory have produced the darkest colour black ever, 25 times more black than conventional black. Lord Tebbit's already tabled a motion to get it sent out of the country. Alan, what's left Viagra facing a mounting crisis?
I've forgotten the name of the other one. Not needing either. I like mounting crisis. There is a new Viagra that begins with a C, and I can't remember, but I will because I'm going past the Boots on the way home, which lasts for 24 hours. And the thing is, can we get it over the counter? No. But it's been produced by the French, which is a wonderful, rare admission of national inadequacy. And Viagra is not good enough, because apparently you get like Andy will have soon, a small limp to one side. I think it's a pill of some kind, which also, like Viagra, gives you heart disease and all the rest.
You know, I was sent next week is National Contraception Week, and I was sent three packets of condoms, right, and a thing, and I thought it was a thing like you measure spaghetti with. It had three separate holes in it, like you could do, you know, family four, family five, family six, you stick the spaghetti, and it wasn't that at all, apparently. It was a, so that you got the right size, thing. Anyway, it had large, regular, and trim. Trim.
That's aerodynamic.
Yeah. I'm not getting the picture of this. This is a female condom.
This is a boys thing, and I don't know why I was sent it, but I'm just... I'm on some list, and... and in order to make sure you get the right size prophylactic, they have a little gauge that you're supposed to slip on.
And they poke this through the letterbox.
Well, yes. And I'm telling you, large, regular, trim. Hands up, anybody wants to say, oh, that's me, I'm trim.
I've never had anything like this. All I get is the RSPB magazine. It's another world again, isn't it?
It did come with instructions, but they were awfully small. sorry, trim.
Sandy, did it measure you when you were, not you, but one... when one was at rest, or like the spaghetti before you put it in the boiling water.
And what I'm trying to say is, do you measure it when it's al dente?
Do you know what's really awful is that never even occurred to me, is it?
was a question. Does it really change that much? I'll send it to you, Simon. You know, I'd forgotten what we were talking about. I'm so sorry. I imagine what the postman thought.
2 points. The position of Viagra in the male impotence market is under threat by newcomer Cialis, said to be faster, more effective and longer lasting than its rival. The manufacturers claim Cialis is so effective it will not only do everything Viagra does, it will even smoke the cigarette for you afterwards. Before we start the final round, here's a cutting from the Sunday Mirror.
In a story. In a story where
Perkins.
Yes, I should think it's serious. In a story where a pop star assaulted a toilet attendant, the attendant told the Sunday Mirror newspaper, "I was shocked. I don't care how many number ones she's had."
Thanks to Carl Phillips for that. Linda, what fishy tale surfaced this week?
Oh, yeah, this is this fish. That's what this is. It's a fish.
Does it involve a tail as well?
It has a tail. It's a fishy tail of a fish called the Patagonian toothfish.
Yes.
That normally lives in the Southern Ocean as a rule for many hundreds of thousands of years, actually, but has suddenly decided to go backpacking in Greenland. It's sort of emerged on the other side of the world, effectively, and it's the wrong sort of water and everything. It's all too hot for it. So it's had to swim really, really, really deep under the water where it is specially black to get to Greenland.
Well, subscribe, you asked the reason it left. And according to Telegraph, it is a great delicacy in Patagonia. And you would think, I mean, it's obviously seeking asylum. It's going, if it is sent back, it will be tinned.
The Patagonian toothfish is especially sought after by restaurants in Japan, where it's used for sushi, and in Britain, where it's used as a stand-in for Janet Street Porter. Ooh, Janet Street Porter fans.
Strap, really unlucky you found Janet Street Porter fans.
Do you know what you have to do with a pencil in your mouth? That? Anyway. Yeah. Put a pencil in your mouth and suddenly you're Janet Street Porter.
Sandy, what's been bugging Archer's addicts this week?
Oh, this is a very sad story, because I'm a big fan of the Archers, and Brian has behaved appallingly. And I love it. I love the omnibus. I love the fact that we call it an omnibus. It suggests a very, very old bus bringing us this drama. And I love that. And apparently, 10,500 people who log on to the Archers website were sent instead of being updated on what Shula's up to and how the gals are doing and what on earth was going to happen to the organic sausage business, they were sent a computer virus. But I know. How sad is that? And which one of them would have known what it was? So now, will they have to, now they've got this virus, will they have to restrict the movement of Archer's fans? I would applaud such a move.
Yeah. They've all had to have all their doormats drenched with disinfectant.
There's talk of a cull, isn't there?
Yeah.
I think a system of vaccination is more humane.
Very, very sad.
Subscribers to the BBC's Archers email service got more than they bargained for when the weekly newsletter turned out to have a virulent computer virus attached to it. On hearing the news, an Archer spokeswoman immediately issued a statement saying, "Oh, no!" Alan Mitch Harmony had a moving experience.
Oh, yeah, I remember this. It was a cow. I'd forgotten its name. It's funny how you forget cows' names when you live in London for a bit. It was called
Harmony.
Something like Hawksworth Harmony the Third. It's probably related to Camilla Parker Bowles. You don't often find don't find cows with hyphens a lot. But anyway, it was pregnant. It's an odd cow, and it lives in Hampshire. And the farmer, concerned with its pregnancy, rolled his sleeves up, and the cow took fright and ran off. And the police were called. And then proceeded a sort of Keystone Cops thing where the cow chased through Hampshire with cars coming after it and lots of other people. And anyway, the cow got to a place called Barton-on-Sea and jumped over it and landed 40 feet down. They helicoptered it up and it was all grist to the telegraph's mill. But it's sort of dull. So I don't know why it had all those names. Presumably it's one things as it for its udders and the things they do with cows.
Prize cow Hallmark Harmony III, now nicknamed Lucky, escaped from a Hampshire field, negotiated a dual carriageway, smashed down a series of garden fences, swam a fish pond, battered a Renault Clio, and leapt over a 70-foot cliff. The owner said he had no explanation for her behaviour, though she did turn out to be carrying a box of milk tray at the time. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy.
This is from Debbie Fidian of North Barningham in Norfolk. It's a small ad. Pillow, feather, as new, £1, could deliver.
Linda.
Oh, this was sent in by Marjorie Rolstone, and it's from the Johannesburg Star. This is a story about the loss by the landlocked country of Swaziland of its entire merchant navy. The fleet, which consists of just one ship, has completely disappeared. The Swaziland Transport Minister was not worried or blaming his civil servants. The situation is absolutely under control, he said. We believe it's in the sea somewhere.
Sandy.
This has been sent in by Bede Mullen, and it's from The Times. William Patogi was given a ritual bath by a bush doctor south of the Suriname capital. The treatment was supposed to make him bulletproof, and he promptly asked the doctor's assistant to test it. Police say that he was shot dead.
Alan, it's an apology in the Lancashire Evening Post, Simon. It says, correction. Bolton hockey player Rupasina Jamini Rabarari has asked us to point out that his team nickname is not, as stated in last week's match report, Johnny Rubber. It is Rubber Johnny. We apologise for any embarrassment.
Thank you all. Let's look at the final scores. Andy and Linda have 13 points. Sandy and Alan have more. Before we leave you, here's an item from the brochure of the Ambassador Hotel, Glasgow.
The Ambassador is a small hotel specialising in top-quality service and comfort. It's located in the heart of Glasgow and gives good Scottish hospitality to make your stay a great one.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Andy Hamilton, Linda Smith, Sandy Totsmith and Alan Corrin. The chairman was Simon Hoddart, and the news is read by me, Charlotte Green. The chairman's script was written by Simon Littlefield, Paul McKenzie and George Holmes. And the producer was Simon Nichols.